morning, we're going to be just doing kind of a one-off sermon. We're not starting a new series really until next week when Christmas starts. Isn't it crazy that it's already Christmas?
It's wild.
We got to do Christmas songs next week.
We love them. I don't know what Cody's deal is. I love them. Especially when Cody sings them. I love them.
I got to gear up for it. All right. So anyway, we want to take time today and just remind ourselves of, one, the holidays are coming up. You know, we just came off of Thanksgiving, which is amazing, but the Christmas season is upon us, right? And we're going to be around a lot of people. We're going to be around our family members, our friends. There's going to be office parties. There's going to be Christmas parties, all kinds of stuff that we're going to have opportunity to be in the vicinity of people and have conversations with people that normally we might not have the opportunity to have those conversations. And so we want to give you the ability to make the most of those conversations and share your story. So today we're going to be preaching actually a sermon that we preached our very first Sunday here at Village Church. Our launch Sunday, we shared a message similar to this, but we want to make sure that everybody is equipped in this season to know your story with Jesus so that you can easily and quickly share it with others so that they can have their own story with Jesus. Because that's why we're here at Village Church. Amen. Amen. Awesome.
Yeah, we call ourselves storytellers. That's kind of our tagline at Village Church. And so we're going to look at where we kind of got this language out of Psalm 107. So if you brought your Bible today, I see some people with their Bibles. Ooh, it's coming back in style to bring your Bible to church. I like it, okay? And you can open up your phone as well. That's all right. And if you didn't bring any of those items, it will be up here on the screen. Just a short little verse. And when we first did this, I was feeling nostalgic about this because it was our launch Sunday almost 3 years ago that we preached this message. And we read almost all of Psalm 107, which we're not going to do today. We're just going to read one line of it. And at this line in this specific verse is repeated over and over in Psalm 107, and it simply says, Psalm 107 verse 2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." Hmm. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And when we look at that, we realize that the world needs a different story. Amen? The world needs a different story. I'll tell you, I don't know if it's just because I'm a pastor or what, but I have conversations all week with people that don't know Jesus, and the story that they are believing and living in their lives is incorrect. It is one of shame, materialism, earning their value and their worth by being good people. People are lost beyond belief, and if you know anything about our world right now, you know that no one really knows what's going on. Right? It's just tumultuous out there of what people are believing and what they're sharing, and they're just trying to find their place and who am I in light of all the conflict that is happening in this world politically and globally as well. And so the world needs a different story. I'll tell you, I've shared this story before. It's one of just some of our profound moments of my life. I was on an airplane talking with this guy, and I had sat down to read a book, and he started talking. You know how that is, where you're like, all right, this is how this is going to be. You know, this is not the quiet flight. There's some people that you sit down, they already have their headphones in, and they're like, do not talk to me. Like, So I sit down with this guy, Tyrone, and he's sharing with me that we're going to Sacramento. He's going there because his dad got out of prison, and he's going to see him for the first time in years. And he goes on to share about how he's had children, but he doesn't really know them because he himself was in prison. And he literally ended the story with, and I'm probably destined, I'll probably be in prison too for the majority of my children's lives. Like, that was just what he ended with. And I just remember thinking in that moment this thought of, like, sometimes I've been a Christian a while, since I was 17 years old, really following Jesus, and I forget how lost I was. I forget that was me at one point, that kind of just was going to be prone to the statistic of my upbringing, my life, my world, whatever's around me, right? And I realized in that moment the world needs a different story. Those are what people without Jesus are walking around, those kinds of resolutions for their lives. This is how my parent was. This is probably just how I'm going to be. This is what life has handed me economically. This is how it's going to be for me. This is what the world says. This is the story that I'm going to live in my life. And I'll tell you, it's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. The world needs a different story. So when we call ourselves storytellers, we're saying we carry the correct one. All right? And so we're going to look at this verse today and just pick through it a little bit and answer the question, who is meant to tell that story then? If the world needs a different one, who has God appointed to tell it?
Amen.
Okay, amen. Amen. You guys can go home and
there we go.
See you next
Ben.
Week.
Good Sunday, everybody. So our only point really today in what this verse is bringing out is that it's the redeemed who are the storytellers. Have you been redeemed by Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's it? Come on. Have you been redeemed by Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Then we have something to share. Amen. We have a transformation that has taken place in our lives that we owe it to the world around us to share and share freely. We've been given a cure, an elixir that fixes every ailment in us. Mm-hmm. Our brokenness in our spirit, in our physical life, in our mental, in our emotional lives, we have the absolute and total cure. And it's on us. We have been charged, those of us who have gotten to take that elixir and experience the transformative, incredible work of Jesus Christ in our lives, it's our duty to tell others, to share that. Because the world around us is sick. The world around us is dying. Those in our context are desperate for something they don't even know they need often. But we can see it. We can see it on them. We can see it all around us. We can see how desperate the world is around us. There was 87 people lost in the fires in Paradise in California, and we're from Sacramento, and so it kind of hit home for us. I knew someone who lost their house. You know, a lot of us do know people who lost their homes, lost everything. And to think 87 people just like that lost their lives in such a horrible way. Did they know Jesus? Did they know Jesus? Did somebody in their context, was somebody who was redeemed, were they in their context? Did they share that elixir? Did they share, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know the transformative work that he can do in your life? Let me tell you what he's done for me. Did somebody do that for them? That is our job. That's what we're charged with. That's who we are supposed to be because we are redeemed. You know, the thing is that we know the story personally. Right? And that means so much more. And we're going to unpack how to share your personal transformation with Jesus. Because there's a difference between sharing your story, sharing your unique experience with Jesus, and just standing on a street corner telling people they're going to hell. Right? This world responds to one over the other a lot better. Right? And we're not ones that are trying to tell people how terrible they are. We're trying to tell people how much better their lives can be. Yeah. Right? That's who we are. That's what we're charged with.
Yeah, this is what God is after. He is after people that don't know him. There's scriptures that say he leaves the 99. He leaves the group for the one lost, right? We're found. We know him, but he leaves the group to go find the one. And when we come to know Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. He fills us, takes over our nature, empowers us to live right and live transformed lives. And don't you think that that same urge that God has is also put inside of us to see the lost found?
Yeah.
And you know, we read this statistic, Cody and I read it, and we were just sort of blown away, that it was over 90% of Christians, 95% of Christians, if they are honest, have no intention of sharing their faith with someone else. And I wager not because they're jerks, 95% of Christians, I pray to God that they're just not rude people. They feel ill-equipped, awkward, not sure how to do that, you know, not really confident in that. And honestly, too, I think we've set up church, I'm just going to give my opinion today, are you ready? I think we've set up church sometimes to be the pastor is the more holy one, which is not true.
Nope.
Praise the good Lord. And we do the work, and you just invite your friends to church if you're feeling brave. You know, like that's the extent of sharing our story, but that is not at all the way that God created the body of believers to operate. That is not how he did it. He put the Holy Spirit inside of each one of us, empowered us, and then what he did is he put you in a specific context, a specific place. There are people in your life that will never meet me or Cody. They never will, because they don't live in Red Rock. They're not going to drive out here to church or whatever. They're in your life. They're not in our lives. And so you are the one responsible for sharing Jesus with those people. Your family members, your neighbors, your friends. These are the people that God has put specifically in your context. I hope that you're challenged right now as I'm sharing this. I hope you're like, ugh. Like, I hope you feel that weight of like, I have got to be more intentional with the people that God has put around me. And sometimes we don't even take a minute in our busy culture to even identify who are the people that don't know him. Who are the people around me that don't know him? I'm just going to work and shutting the office door and not trying to talk to anybody. I'm trying to get it done and go, right? Instead of stopping for a moment to just be intentional and learn about someone's life so that you can have an opportunity to share. You know, one of my favorite moments has been, I was at lunch with Jessica Bren in Tucson. This woman comes up, and this is like the perfect example of what we teach here. We actually do story groups where we teach people how to identify and share their story and practice it. And so we're sitting there, and the waitress, Jessica had gone to the bathroom, the waitress comes up, and I said, how are you today? And she said, I'm not good. You know, I'm going through a divorce, and she just unloaded. It was like the weird, she needed somebody. I'm like, okay. And so she's sharing with me about how she's worried about her son, who was 15, and he's caught in the mix of this divorce and whatnot. And I was able to share. I said, you know, my parents were divorced. It was a pretty nasty divorce that I went through in my family. And let me share you what God has done in my life because of that. This is what he's done for me. I'm more empowered in these different ways. And I'll tell you, my marriage, my personal marriage is thriving because of Jesus Christ. So your son is not lost, you know? And so just this practical thing, just if we take a moment to be intentional, people like to talk about themselves. They do. They love it. If you ask them, what's your spiritual background? What's your story like? How are you today? They like to start sharing about themselves if you let them. I'll tell you, your specific story with Jesus has something to offer your specific world around you. And I hope today, we're going into the holidays, that's why we chose to preach on this today. We're going to be around family members, lots of community things. I hope that you're kind of reinstilled with an intentionality today to share that story. So in Psalm 107, it talks about four different kind of overarching stories of redeemed people. And we think that we can find ourselves in them. And so we're going to share those today. We're going to break those down.
Yeah. Yeah, the first group of people that this passage kind of calls out are the wanderers, they're called, right? And I'm going to just read this out of the Message version. This is starting at verse 4 in Psalm 107, if any of you care to follow along. But it's, some of you wandered for years in the desert, looking but not finding a good place to live, half starved and parched with thirst, staggering and stumbling on the brink of exhaustion. Then, in your desperate condition, you called out to God. He got you out in the nick of time. He put your feet on a wonderful road that took you straight to a good place to live. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. He poured great droughts of water down parched throats. The starved and hungry got plenty of to eat. Can any of you relate to that, to being the wanderer, to wandering through life, what it talks about, right? Looking but not finding a good place to live, just kind of going to and fro in life. Can you relate to that at some point in your life before you met Jesus? Because that is one of the stories that I think is often heard. We see that all the time. People just kind of wandering to and fro, trying to find something of meaning in their lives. They move from one place to another, but they end up realizing that wherever they go, there they are, mm-hmm. Right? You can't escape the junk in your life sometimes because it's your junk, and there's only one person that can take the garbage out, right? Mm-hmm. And that's Jesus. And so until you find the garbage man, right? Until you find Jesus, you're going to be wandering to and fro, carrying this heavy load on your back. And I love that. Then in your desperate condition, you called out to God and he got you out in the nick of time. Amen. How many of you feel that God got you out in the nick of time?
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that amazing promise, amazing faithfulness on God's part that he gets us out just before the end and he pursues us so hard. And you know what? We could have made that choice to walk over the cliff. We could have made that choice to say, you know what, God, I don't think I want you as part of my life. We could have done that, and we could have kept wandering in our lives, but you know what? He loves us too much. And he's going to throw everything he can at us to save us from ourselves, to save us from destruction. He gets us out in the nick of time. So thankful for that.
Yeah. So God redeems the wanderer, but he also redeems the prisoner. And I love this passage. I'm going to read this part. If you're following along, you can go down to verse 10. We're reading in the Message version, which it's just a more paraphrased translation, but the NIV is just as great. But it says, some of you were locked in a dark cell, cruelly confined behind bars, punished for defying God's word, for turning your back on high God's counsel. A hard sentence and your heart so heavy, not a soul in sight to help. Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He led you out of the dark, dark cell, broke open the jail, and led you out. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. He shattered the heavy jailhouse doors. He snapped the prison bars like matchsticks. I love that. I love it, because what this is saying is some people have a story with Jesus where before they knew him, they were imprisoned by their own mistakes. They made a bunch of awful mistakes in their lives. They made choices that led them to live in a virtual prison. Some people in actual prison, but even just a prison in their hearts where they felt like they dug a hole so far down for themselves by their awful choices that they didn't know how to get out. Anyone willing to admit that that was them before they came to know Jesus? I love it. I love it. Oh, so good. So good. And what it says here is that Jesus gets you out in the nick of time. That nothing you do, no mistake you make, can get you out of the love of God if only you will call out to him and say, Lord, save me. I'll tell you what, I was talking to a girl this last week who kind of got out of this weird situation in her life, and she was feeling just so hurt by it and the choices she had been making in her life. And I realized that Jesus, he is the redeemer of all things. He is the only story that, only religion, only whatever you want to say, that you can look at and say that it doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. You cannot earn righteousness. You cannot earn a good life. You cannot earn anything in this world. It is by God's grace and love in Jesus that we are redeemed. Amen. And I'm so moved. I'm just so moved even right now by that in my own life, just realizing all the times I've tried so hard to be so good and failed every single time without the love and grace of Jesus in my life. And it says his miracle mercy to the children he loves. He snaps the prison bars like matchsticks. And so when you're a prisoner and you call out to Jesus and he breaks those doors open, he says, no more, it's gone. Like, that's how easy it is for him. Then he empowers you by the Holy Spirit. These are the transformation stories in here, that people that were down in the hole that they dug for themselves, and then Jesus came, took up residence by the Holy Spirit in their heart, empowered them to make the choices they needed to get out. He set them free in Jesus' name. So he redeems the prisoner.
Yeah, amen.
So good.
He redeems us who were trapped by external consequences that we found ourselves in through our choices. And he also redeems the sick, those trapped in their consequences in themselves, right? Those choices that we make that affect us negatively, and we believe lies about ourselves. Often we feel this sickness in our lives that permeates through every area, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, and we just feel sick. We feel tired. We feel like there's something in us that we just can't overcome on our own. This gross kind of blackness is the way I used to think about it, because I can relate to this, right? And I love this in the Message. Some of you are sick because you'd lived a bad life. Mm-hmm. Your body's feeling the effects of your sin. You couldn't stand the sight of food. So miserable, you thought you'd be better off dead. Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He spoke the word that healed you, that pulled you back from the brink of death. I love that. Pulls us back from the brink of death. And we believe wholeheartedly that healing is ready and available to us. There's some of you in this room that can stand as a testimony to healing in your lives. Amen? Who of you know you've been healed by the Lord today? Who of you know and have confidence that healing has come through the miracles of our Father in heaven, right? Amen. Isn't that amazing that we can claim that today? We can stand strong and know we have been healed. We have been healed. Those of us who were sick because of our choices or the effects of the brokenness in this world, we can stand strong because of the redemption, even in sickness, because of Jesus. By his stripes, we are healed. That's a promise that we can cling to with both hands, right? That no matter what happens in our lives, we have somebody that can get us out of it. Not just those prison bars that are on the outside, but the prison bars that are on the inside can be broken as well.
Yeah, and God redeems good people. Mm. He redeems good people. And you might think, well, do they need to be redeemed? But let me read this to you. It says, some of you set sail in big ships. You put to sea to do business in faraway ports. Out at sea, you saw God in action. You saw his breathtaking ways with the ocean. With a word, he called up the wind, an ocean storm, towering waves. You shot high in the sky, then the bottom dropped out. Your hearts were stuck in your throats. You were spun like a top. You reeled like a drunk. You didn't know which end was up. Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He quieted the wind down to a whisper, put a muzzle on all the big waves, and you were so glad when the storm died down, and he led you safely back to harbor. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. Lift high your praises when the people assemble. Shout hallelujah when the elders meet. And I, you know, that's an interesting part of the scripture. And when we read that, we thought, you know what that kind of signifies is people that have a plan for their life. They're making good things. They go out, maybe business people, kind of successful people. They think this is what life is going to be about. And they go out, and then that phrase, then the bottom drops out of their plans, kind of hits home for some people. I was a good person. I was just going, and then something happened to me in my life, whether it was by my own choice or just simply the world around me. Maybe I lost a job. Maybe I was injured. Maybe someone did something that hurt me. Maybe just, you know, a storm kind of brewed up in my life, and the bottom dropped out of all my good plans that I made. And I'm reminded when I read that nothing in this world is, you know, firm. Like, we can't rely on any of it. Right? Like, I have such a good life, but you know, because you know people in your own life, that could change it in a moment's notice because of the brokenness in this world, right? People get sick, things happen, jobs are lost. I mean, tragedy hits in our lives. But God even redeems the good people. I got to tell you a story. Hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. My friend, I've told you about her actually, my friend Lisa lost her husband a year ago. Two young kids, he had cancer, and it was just the most awful thing. And she really felt like her life was ruined. She did. She was the love of her life. She said, I feel like I'm ruined. Like, this is just it now, and I'm not even 50 years old, and I'm just going to live the rest of my life sad. Just, you know, that feeling as the loss, the storm hit. And I'll tell you what, it's been a little over a year, and she has met somebody, and he has also lost his wife at the same time. And it's amazing what God is doing between the two of them. They're just dating. They're just walking down the path. But it's amazing the friendship that they found. And I was talking to her a couple weeks ago when I saw her, and she was just, like, filled with joy. She was, like, talking to me and, like, just about this and that and how fun it was, and they're going to do this together. It's so great. And he's so kind, and all his friends are so great. And just the excitement that she was sharing. And I said, you know what's so interesting, Lisa, is God is such a redeemer. We think that cancer is going to ruin our lives. Loss and grief are going to ruin our lives. And God's like, no, I'm not done with you yet. The Lord says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. That means in heaven and here on this earth as well. Praise the Lord that he provides for us here as well. And I love that. It says, you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He redeems even the good people, even the people that might know him. It says they went out on the sea and they saw the works of God. They might know him, but then something happened. The bottom dropped out. But even then, even when the worst of the worst happens in our lives here on this earth, God is a redeemer. Some of us have that story in the room today. Anyone? Anyone have that story? Amen. Some of us in the room can just resonate with that I've lived my life knowing what it means to be good, but even then the bottom drops out, but God was not done with me yet. Praise God for his incredible work.
Yeah. You know, it's so important that we own our stories because some of the people in our context can relate to only your story. That's why God has brought them into your context, right? And so wanderers tend to respond to wanderers. Sick people tend to respond to sick people, right? When they hear, you were this way, that's who I am right now. You mean that you're telling me that I don't have to live that way anymore? That there's something else for me in this world? I don't have to wander everywhere to and fro and I can find purpose and everything I'm looking for right here, right now. You're telling me that because, wow, you found that for yourself. That is the power of a story. That is the power of owning your own story. And you know what? We have a big overarching story. And sometimes, you know, I was saved when I was like, I said a prayer when I was like 4 or 5 or 6 or something, pretty little. I remember being at my bedside saying that prayer. Right, and so I don't have this like, you know, when I was 5, like life was pretty crazy. It was, I was wandering to and fro. I couldn't, you know, like I don't have that story.
Made some bad choices.
Yeah, you know, like I can't say like, and then the first time I met Jesus, right? That's a strange story, but I can tell all kinds of stories about seasons in my life where I was a wanderer. Even though I knew Jesus, my choices made me wander away from him. I can tell all kinds of stories of how I was imprisoned, right, by certain things in my life, even though I knew Jesus, right? But my choices still overcame what he wanted for me, right? I can tell all kinds of stories about being sick. I can tell stories about good seasons in my life when the bottom dropped out, even though I knew Jesus that whole time. And that, I believe wholeheartedly, I get to have those experiences so that I can relate to others and I can share who Jesus can be to them, right? Because I've experienced that. And I am thankful. I am thankful. I am so sad that I made some of the choices that I have in my life, but I am thankful now that I get to tell a different story. Amen? Aren't you thankful that you can tell a different story? I am thankful because one day I'm going to stand before Jesus and I have to give an account for who I've been. And he's going to say one of two things, right? He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Or well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah. And I've shared this before, but I wholeheartedly believe that the measure by which he says, well done, good and faithful servant, is by how many people are surrounding me in that moment that I shared my story yes. with and are standing there before Jesus as well because I was bold, because I said what I needed to say. I haven't been perfect at it, guys. I haven't. Ashley and I aren't perfect at this, but we have to try to live it. We've seen 150 people or more come to Jesus at Village Church so far. And that's because as a church, we know the importance of being storytellers and being bold and sharing how good Jesus is. Because he is. Amen? He is so good. He is so, so good. So we want to give you real fast how to tell your story. This is what you would learn kind of just in a snippet in one of our storyteller classes. First off, you need to understand who you were before Christ. You can take your overarching story, or who were you in this last season, this last month, this last 6 months, this last year, maybe this last week. What was God trying to teach you? Were you wandering? Did you find yourself imprisoned? Were you sick? Did the bottom drop out, right, in this last little bit of a season or your entire life? Nail down how to tell that. You know what? This is who I've been. This is where I was. Right? In my story, I can say I was saved at a young age, but my faith didn't really become my own until I was in college. I tried to walk away from God because I didn't like the Christians around me. People who called themselves Christians didn't act that way real well. And so I was tired of it, and I tried to walk away, but God reeled me back in, and I didn't get a chance to get away. He didn't let me drop stuff because God had shown me so many things in my life before that I couldn't shake it. I couldn't ever deny God. I just wanted to walk away from him for a while, right? But in that time, I've also been addicted in my life. I've been addicted to pornography. I've been addicted to laziness, whatever, right? I've had those seasons as well where I can say now God has redeemed me and transformed me and given me freedom in my life, right? So that's who I was before Jesus. I can share that at a moment's notice in any story that I need to. And then after you know who were you before Christ and you're ready to share that, you say, this is how I met Christ. This is how Jesus came into my life. I was struggling in this time, and you know what? God spoke to me through a word one day while I was reading my Bible. God spoke to me in church service one day. One time I was talking to someone, and they just started telling me about what they were going through, and that spoke to me, and they told me about Jesus right then and there, right? That's how you talk about, that's how you share. This is when Jesus came into my life. And then we share, this is who I am now. Mm-hmm. This is who I am now. I was addicted, but now I'm free. Yeah. I was sick, but now I'm healed. I was an anxiety-riddled person that hated themselves. Mm-hmm. And now I can stand before you knowing I'm a man of God.
Amen.
And God loves me. And he's proud of me. And I can stand firm knowing that. You don't have any idea how radical a transformation that is for me to be able to say that.
Amen.
With confidence today. I am free. I am his. That is the power of Jesus. And I get to now share that story with anybody that God brings to me to listen to it. That's who we are. That's what we're charged to do. So, who were you before Christ? How did you meet Christ? And who are you now? Write those down. Memorize that. And think, the next time God brings you somebody, and he will, I promise you, the Holy Spirit is going to bring you people this week, maybe even today, to share this story with. Remember, who were you before Christ? How did you meet him? And who are you now?
Yeah. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. And I think I have here two charges for us, but I think there's three charges for us today. The first one is, do you need to just learn and be brave to tell your story? Straight up, do you need to identify it? Maybe you need to actually sit down. We tell people in our story groups, we want you to be able to tell it in like 2 to 3 minutes. So not like, I was born, and then, you know, this person said this, and that, you know, what? No, but like, here's the fact. I was stuck in an addiction cycle like this. Then this person, God brought this person into my life, because that's often how we come to know him. Most of us, you know, I came to know Jesus because someone shared him with me, right? So that's a sign. I met this person, they invited me to church, or they shared with me this, and I gave my life to Jesus, and then I had a community of people around me, and I was able to get out of that addiction by God's grace, right? Like, that's a two-second story. I can tell you very quickly that I'm the product of a divorced family, and so is my husband, and so we are a recipe for divorce by statistics, right? If your parents are divorced, no one showed you how to have a good marriage, you're likely to also not have a good marriage. And the first year of our marriage, we realized very quickly how young and dumb we were. 19 years old, what on earth? Getting married. Thinking, we just love each other, you know, like, you know. And in that time, God brought us to our knees in frustration with each other, and just flat out reach the end of our own personal ropes. We tried everything we knew how to do, but until we got on our knees and said, Jesus, take a hold of this marriage. And when we did that, he certainly did. And I'm a blessed woman to be married to Matt Jennings. And I think he's pretty blessed too. But I'll tell you, we have one of the best marriages I know. And we can be transparent, we're not perfect. You know, we fought yesterday about something ridiculous. But we have a good relationship by God's grace. And because of that, our children get to grow up in that. There's a legacy that will live. We broke the chain, the cycle of divorce, in a line in our family on both sides. We broke that because of Jesus Christ. I can tell that quick. I don't know what your story is, but I hope right now you're thinking, how can I share it? Like, how can I actually identify who I was, what he did? And maybe you'll be so transparent. You know what it's like for Cody to stand up here and say, I had this addiction in front of his entire family that's sitting right here today on the right? Like, the transparency that we need to carry, that's one of our 6 core values here at Village Church. We need to let the walls down and just be honest. Not one of us is perfect in this room, but we serve a perfect God. Not one of us is perfect. We are not a perfect church. We are not perfect people. But we know Jesus Christ. So maybe the charge today is that you need to just tell your story. In fact, I was telling Cody I want to do this. I want to do some video testimonies just for the future. So if you are willing to share your story, would you just write that on a connection card? Like, I'd be willing to share it. We'd love to just begin to create a list of people that are willing to, like, be that transparent and get up in 2 to 3 minutes and share. So so that we can get that out for other people. Would you write that on the connection card and put it in the box? I think the second charge today is you're listening. Some people, I just got the sense, and I just added this in last minute, that some people are in the midst of transformation right now. And they're not on the other end yet. They're not sure what the life is going to look like, but they're either coming to the end of that broken season where they're about to call out to God and say, I'm done. I've done it all my way. I'm done. I'm calling out. Or they've already done that and Jesus has begun a work. And so I want to encourage you today, if you are there, if you know Jesus as your Savior and you're realizing there's an area in my life that needs transformation, today is the day to call out to Him. Today is the day. That's a charge for you. I really believe the Holy Spirit spoke that as we were preaching, that some of you are just needing to call out. And some of you have called out, and I want you to be encouraged today that Jesus is working. He is working. Some people wonder sometimes, is He really working? I've given my life to Him. I've said I need help, or I've called out in desperation. I'm not sure yet. I'm not on the other end of God's promise. And I'll tell you, there's a season that's coming to an end. Breakthrough is coming for you. Amen?
Amen.
Breakthrough is coming for you. So do not lose hope. Today, let that hope kind of encourage you. Let it fan a flame in your heart. And then there's the last people in here today that don't know Jesus, that are hearing this, are completely lost, and they're like, you know what, I'm giving my life to Him today. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Charge number one was learn and tell your story. If that was for you this morning, would you raise your hand? Would you just own that? I'm going to learn. Thank you. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to be bold. I want to see a legacy unleashed through my life because of what Jesus has done. Amen. Awesome. Second one was the people in here that are not yet to the end. They're not yet there, and there's two camps there, and I want you to raise your hand if today is your call out to Jesus day. You're saying, Lord, I know You, but in this season I'm calling out. Raise your hand. Awesome. There's also people that have called out to Him and now they're just waiting. They're waiting on the breakthrough. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to see it. I want to pray for you. Awesome. God, You see these people, Father. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, would You fan the flame that is in them, the flame of faith that is in their hearts right now. God, may they trust You. May hope overflow. May they not give up. And Lord, may breakthrough come, miracle breakthrough, God, today in Jesus' name. And is there anyone in the room that does not have a relationship with Jesus that's hearing these amazing stories and says, you know what, I'm giving my life to Him today. Today's the day. Would you raise your hand? Would you just be brave and raise your hand? You might not know what it means. You might not know how that's going to work. And you might have all these preconceived ideas about church and Christianity or whatever. But I'm simply saying you want to give your life to Jesus, the Savior, the Transformer. Would you raise your hand? Awesome. Anyone else? God, You are so good. You've redeemed us, Father. God, You've redeemed us. You've returned to us what the enemy has stolen. You've restored, God, what even in our own choices we broke down, the dreams that maybe we lost because of our own actions. God, You are greater than statistics and logic. You're greater than the way the world works. God, You are a redeemer. God, even now we're just moved, each one of us, from what You've done in our lives. God, the goodness that follows us simply because You love us. Father, there are people in this room today that are just needing You. Pray You remind them who You are as Redeemer today. And God, for those of us that right now are just so encouraged, so moved by what You've already done, what You've finished, God, and we want to say two things. Number one, we get spiritual amnesia and we are so sorry. We forget what You've done and we complain about the little piddly things in our lives, but God, we repent of that today and just remember You. We remember where we came from. Where You've taken us, God, and what You're doing. And Lord, I pray for those today that maybe for the first time are realizing I'm going to give my life to Jesus, not just in a way that's, you know, a sentence or two, but really I'm going to hand my life over, I'm going to surrender because I need a transformation story, a redeemed story to tell. God, unleash in this place as we worship You. Move, God. Lord, we give you all the glory. Not one of us can take credit for any ounce of any good that has happened in our lives. It's all to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.